You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, church. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Last week, we shared on learning to hear from God. And the fact that God's desire is for us to learn to hear and recognize His voice. And it's good that many people did hear that. We also spoke about the fact that the Bible says that we had been made to sit with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. You have a face-to-face contact with God. You may not see Him. But the fact that you are seated with Christ at the right hand, you have the opportunity to talk to Him and speak to Him and share with Him. Tell Him the things that are going on in your life. And the fact too, it says we've been made to sit with Christ at the right hand of the Father. Physically we're on planet Earth, but spiritually we're seated with Him. That means we start to see things from His viewpoint. What you thought was a giant was a grasshopper. The things that you've been battling in your life. What you thought was a mountain was simply a little molehill. What you thought was a high insurmountable wall was a picket fence that you can just step over. It's seeing it from His viewpoint. And so we're going to start part two. You ready for part two? Part two, we're going to be talking about the war on the mind. And this is an incredible, vital message for us to hear. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand this message. Father, as we turn to your word, give us understanding, open our ears, let your word be sown in good soil as we heard this morning. And Father God, that we'll go from this place knowing that we've heard from you, knowing, Father God, that we have the tools that we need to help us in our Christian walk and our Christian life. We pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Strongholds, what are they? Thoughts in our mind. For instance, fear starts with thought. Worry starts with thought. Anxiety starts with thought. Anger starts with thought. You see someone think, and something wells up in your heart and your mind starts to race. Comparing yourself with others, start with thought. You see, Satan wants to put wrong thoughts in our minds. And when we don't deal with them, he begins to make that the focus of our attention and it becomes or can become an obsession. You know, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare. That means we're in warfare. And here is a picture of a Christian involved in the battle, and it all starts in the mind. You know, it may start with disappointments, trauma. Relationship gone wrong. There are situations that can trigger it. You know, if you're in a situation where there's a numbers of people and then you see two people talking together and think, I wonder if they're talking about me. Starts with thought. I said something to that person. I hope he's not going to share with his friend about what I shared with him. Starts with thought. Starts with thought. And this passage gives clear understanding about strongholds and how we must deal with them if we're going to be successful in our Christian life. You see, the devil, his goal is containment. He wants to contain us, put a lid on us, stop us from growth and develop in our walk with God. He wants us to be contained. And the Apostle Paul defines strongholds as any type of thinking that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, thereby giving the devil a secure place of influence in a Christian's thought life. What is a stronghold? It's a mindset, a mind that's set
on thoughts. Thoughts. Your mind becomes set on it. It becomes impregnated with a sense of hopelessness that causes us to accept something that we know is contrary to the will of God. It's a faulty thinking pattern based on lies and deceptions. And deception is one of the major weapons of the devil because it's the building blocks for a stronghold. You see, what strongholds can do is to cause us to think in ways that will stop God from ministering and blessing us. That's the purpose of it. Now, I want you to recognize the fact this morning that when we talk about strongholds, we're not talking about random thoughts. We're not talking about random thoughts or sins, occasional sins. We're talking about thoughts in your life that you have a hard time in breaking them and being free from them. You see, Satan wants you to become a POW, not a Prince of Wales, but a prisoner of words. How many of us have experienced something being said about us when we're young and we find it hard to break free of those thoughts? And so we become a prisoner of words. Years ago, I asked Holy Spirit to show me, give me something very clear, simple that I can explain what it means when we talk about strongholds in our mind. And Holy Spirit said to me, your mind is like a screen, and there's a projector with three operators. First operator is Satan, and he is the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you before God. He will accuse you before others. He wants to, because he's called the accuser of the brethren. And he fills our minds with thoughts of accusation. But there's also the thought of from yourself. You get on that projector and you project thoughts on that screen. And it's usually words against your character. You're no good. Low self-image. You compare yourself with others. And those words are being projected on the screen of our mind. But then there's the thought of the Holy Spirit. And that's who we want. To project his words on the screen of our mind. And it's also always to build us up, to encourage us, to strengthen us in our Christian walk. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts I have to think towards you. In other words, God's saying, listen, I think thoughts about you. He's constantly thinking about, if you're his child, that he constantly thinks about you. He says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is God's plan for your life and my life. You know, even as Christians, we still have to deal with strongholds. We have to deal with them in our lives. And we need to know how to deal with them successfully. God says to pull them down. Pull them down. Here are some of the thoughts that Satan often would drop in people's minds. You're not good. You're not saved. You've committed the unpardonable sin. I remember years ago when I thought I'd committed the unpardonable sin. You're going to be lost forever. Kids will never come back to the Lord. No one appreciates me. Why don't they ring me? Don't they like me? Thoughts. It starts with the thoughts. You will never give up that habit. That's what the enemy spoke to me about smoking. You will never give up. Accept the fact. Resign yourself to the fact that you've got this for life. Just enjoy it. It goes well with a coffee. And I agreed with him. You will never get well. It always starts with thought. And these lies are downloaded into your mind. The problem is, church, that when we accept those thoughts as your own, you begin to say with your mouth what Satan has said to your mind. You begin to say what the enemy brings to your mind, and this could mean that you've accepted it. Maybe you're struggling with thoughts even now. And God wants to minister to you. He wants you to go out of this building knowing that you have tools that can help you, but knowing that the fact that he will minister to you even as you listen to this message. You see, the Bible says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This means every thought must come under the authority of the Word of God. Drive it out with the promises of God. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, it says, no weapon, come on church, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue, every word that shall come rise up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage. This is the birthright of the servants of the Lord. And your righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Every negative thought from Satan is a weapon that he uses to gain footholds in our minds. And notice it said, every weapon or thought formed against you shall not prosper unless you let it, unless you entertain it. Every word that rises against you, it says, you shall condemn. Who? You. Don't ask God to do it. Don't ask the Holy Spirit to do it. Don't ask Jesus to do it. Every word or thought that comes against you to bring condemnation, fear, torment, and defeat, you have been given the authority to condemn. You know, many years ago, when I attended another church, I was on the eldership. I was on part of the team. And this wonderful day, we'd met every week. And the senior pastor opened up a letter. He said, I got a letter concerning Pastor Phil. So I thought, oh, this is good. This is going to be good. And when he read that letter, two women accused me and said that I was a warlock. They said I was a warlock. A male witch. Would he be dressed like this? No. And we all laughed. We thought, how ridiculous. The next day, that thought came to mind. I wonder if others are thinking the same thing. Sunday would come. I wonder if people are thinking the same thing. The second week, through the week, I wonder if people are thinking about this. Are they thinking that I'm a warlock? Are there horns in my head that I can't see? The next Sunday, for 3 weeks, I couldn't shake that thought. I said to Glennis, I want you to pray with us and agree. And we spoke about Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue, word that rises against me in judgment, you shall condemn. So we took authority in the name of Jesus and we condemned those words and those thoughts lifted off of my heart. I remember a person I used to see for coffee on a regular basis, not in this church. And every time I would talk to him, he would talk about his problems. But Pastor Phil, the past, the things that happened in my past, you don't understand the past, the battles that I've faced. And as he was talking, Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, he said, tell him his rear vision mirror is bigger than his front screen. So I said, brother, stop. Hold, cease, pause, Selah. I said, Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He said, your rear vision mirror is bigger than your front screen. You're still looking in the past. Now, there's times we look in the past to praise God and thank him for what he's brought us through. But we don't live in the past. If you live in the past, you've got no future. And he was missing out on what God had purposed and planned for his life because he was kept looking behind him. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, the word behold means take note. There's something serious that I want to say to you. Behold, I give you. Jesus is saying, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, come on church, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Serpents, they represent deceptive words and lies. Scorpions represent stinging words, often behind your back. Have you had words spoken to you behind your back? Stinging words? That's a scorpion. You've been attacked by a scorpion spirit. And Jesus himself said, I give you authority to trample. And that word trample means trample with contempt. You don't dippy-dap around like that. You trample with contempt over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not some of them, all the power of the enemy. And nothing, church, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, the battlefield is the thought life. You don't play with them. You don't deal lightly with them. You don't humor them. You pull them down. You cast them down. I will not allow them to linger. I will not allow them to stand. I will pull them down and cast them out in the name of Jesus. You know, what's the purpose of wrestling? I'm not talking about the American style of wrestling. I'm talking about the Olympic Games wrestling. It's to pin down your opponent. You are pinning down Satan's words with God's words. And guess who's more powerful? Satan's words are not as powerful, nowhere near. And Paul says the weapons of our warfare. It's warfare. We all go through it. Remember, you're not fighting for a place of victory. You're fighting from a place of victory. That means you've got to enforce the victory. Because we have a trespasser. He trespasses on God's property. If he's trespassing on your children, take authority. If he's trespassing upon your life, on your marriage, on your finances, whatever, on your health, he is trespassing on God's property. And God has provided you and I with powerful weapons to win this warfare in our thought life. For example, the weapon of the Word of God. It is written. What a powerful weapon. If there's a situation you're going through, for instance, when I found out that I had a murmuring heart, it would murmur to Glennis all the time. It wasn't really that, but I have a murmuring heart, and so immediately the enemy attacked me with fear. And so God, the next morning I was reading in the Psalms, and it says, God is the strength of your heart and your fortress. So what I did, I didn't listen to the murmur. I simply declared the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Take the weapon of the blood. What a powerful weapon this is. Satan hates the blood because the blood speaks about the life of Jesus. So when we declare the blood, we're saying, God, it's the blood, it's the life that's in the blood, and that life is the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they overcame him, the Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They testified to what the blood had done in their life. I've been cleansed. I've been washed. I've been sanctified, I've been made whole. I thank you, Father, for the power of the blood. It reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest mountain. It gives me strength from day to day. The blood will never lose its power. Amen? But then there's the weapon of the name. What a powerful weapon, the name of Jesus. You know, when you go to the doctor says, listen, you've got a certain disease, sickness, and it gives you the name
of that certain sickness. Well, Jesus has been given a name far above every other name. If you know what the name of that sickness is, know this, that Jesus has been given a name far above all other names. Then use that name. The weapon of praise. What a powerful weapon is praise. You see, God inhabits the praises of his people. When you praise God, you present God with a throne that he can take his rightful place on the throne of your mind and your heart. And in the particular passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, it says, "Now when they began to sing and to praise," just imagine, you're going out to war. I mean, I was in a war zone, and I didn't go out singing and praising. I used my weapon. I had my weapon. But here, instead of using weapons, they began to praise your God. "Father, we bless you. Glory to God. You are a great God. There's no other God beside you. We worship you and we bless you." And when they did that, the Bible says God sent ambushes. Surprise attacks. That's what ambushes mean. Surprise attacks. Oh, something's happened. Against the enemy of Judah. And they were defeated. But you know, there's an enemy. There's also the power of his presence. Do you realize that his presence can cause the devil to flee? He hates the presence of God. And guess what? You and I carry his presence. But how many of us really, really bring to our mind what God had done for us? I'm a carrier of his presence. Wherever I go, whatever situation I may be in, I am carrying his presence. And Satan hates that you know that you are a carrier of his presence. We need to recognize this truth, that we carry his presence. But then there's many other weapons, but the last one I give you is the weapon of the gospel. The gospel is a weapon. Let me read it to you. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. When you share with someone, the power of God becomes present. They may not understand it. They may even reject it. But when you speak in faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it brings the power of the Holy Spirit in that situation. Just over a week ago, I led someone to the Lord in a cafe. Last week, I went to the same cafe and I spoke to another girl. And unfortunately, there was a customer there she had to serve, but I began to open up and share. She said, "I'm from New Zealand." I said, "Look, we've got people in church from New Zealand. You need to come." She said, "I used to go." I said, "But God is interested in you coming back. He wants you to come back." The gospel has power in Jesus' name. You see, the weapon of the gospel has power to share when you talk about Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 23, 29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire?" You can say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. "And like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces." The Amplified brings it like this. "And like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of stubborn resistance." When it talks about rocks here, it talks about strongholds. Those strongholds can be stubborn. Stubborn strongholds of resistance. When I was doing some extension to my house back in Adelaide, we had to break up this concrete. And so I used a sledgehammer and bang, bang, nothing, bang, bang, same place, bang, nothing, nothing moved, no cracks, nothing. And after numbers of hits on the concrete, suddenly a little tiny crack started to appear. So I kept hitting, hitting, hitting that area. Started to open up, open up, and open up until finally it broke in pieces. That's what you do with strongholds. You keep hitting it with the word. You keep hitting it with the word. You keep hitting it with the word. This is what happened when I couldn't give up smoking. I had to hit that lie of the devil. You've got this for life. Just enjoy it. And I began to hit it with Romans 6. It's no longer Romans 6 where it says, when Jesus died, I died. When Jesus was buried, I was buried. When Jesus rose from the grave, I rose with him in newness of life. Smoking no longer has a hold on me because I have the life of Christ. But I kept on smoking. You know why? You don't fight the habit. You renew the mind. Galatians 2:20, it says, it's no longer I that live. And I didn't do it three times a day. I did it every day, every moment of the day. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself for me. It's the life of Christ that's living in me. Jesus doesn't have a problem with habits. And I have his life. It's his life now that's governing me, not my old life. You see, prayer alone will not do the miracle. You need to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. He always works with the word that is spoken in faith. In Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22, it says, my son and daughter, pay attention to all the words I am telling you. Lean in closer so you may hear all I say. Keep them before you. Meditate on them. Set them safely in your heart. For those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to your body. Remember this thought. Remember this thought. If you take just the opposite of what the devil has told you, then you will know the truth. Then back it up with scripture. If the devil says you're not saved, declare God's word. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become children of God. Confess it boldly. And that lie will eventually leave and have no effect in your life. If the devil says that you're going to die early in life, begin to speak out what David said in Psalm 91. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. If the devil says you're not going to get well, declare that by his stripes, I am healed. If the devil tells you that God will never forgive you of your sins or heal any particular disease in your body, replace that thought and declare, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is what Jesus did. He said, it is written. And you too can defeat the devil every time by saying, it is written. Then say what's written in the promises of God. Don't just say it is written. Say what is written in the promises of God. That's how you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But church, there's more. There's something more that I want to share that's very important. In Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word transform means change. It comes from the Greek word where we get the word metamorphosis. And a good illustration of this word metamorphosis is the stages of life in a butterfly. It starts with an egg, a larva, I should say, a pupa, and then the butterfly. You know, they say that when the butterfly is in the larva, if you try to help that butterfly to get out, that butterfly loses its strength and it won't have the strength to fly. So you allow it to struggle Struggle in the larvae causes to gain strength so that when it begins to fly, it strives through its strength. The other thing, listen to this, the other thing, very amazing, that the struggle in the pupae also helps to develop the colors on its wings. So don't help it. And then, when it comes out of the pupae, it stays there and pumps blood into its wings. And then it takes off in flight. So how will we change? By pumping the Word of God in our minds, in our hearts. Our thinking is being changed and renewed by the process of metamorphosis of God's Word in our confession. That's why church is important, that we think like he thinks about salvation, about forgiveness, about mercy, about sickness, about healing, what he says about it, about deliverance, love, goodness, and all the wonderful things that we find in the Bible. You know, King David, he spoke about a blessed man, and this is what he said. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Notice verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on his word day and night. Notice the result. You become like a tree planted by streams of living water. You are planted in the house of, you know, the fact that you are planted in the house of God, you'll flourish. Wherever God plants people, that's where they flourish. And that the fact that they planted beside streams of living water. And I was meditating on that particular aspect of streams of living water. And God says to me, there are many streams in the life of this church. That's the main service that we're having today. But there's also a connect group where you're planted by streams. You're being refreshed. You're being encouraged. You're being strengthened. There's growth tracks. There's many things that happen in the life of this church that brings the refreshing and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit into your life. The Bible says where you are planted, that's where you'll flourish. But you see, the key to experiencing all this comes out of meditating on his word. And the word meditate is the Hebrew word hagah. H-A-G-A-H. And it has two main reasons, two main understandings. The first one is, this is like a cow chewing its cud. You're meditating. You're regurgitating the Word of God. You're mulling over it. You're thinking over it. You're speaking, you know. You're speaking to yourself. You're speaking back to God in His own Word. You're speaking the Word of God. You're chewing over God's Word. But there is a second meaning. And it's about focusing on God's word, and maybe not as quietly or passively as we might think. It's about being hungry for the word of God day and night. Not just a bit of hungry, I just want a snack. No, I want a meal. It's being hungry. It's desiring, this is what the context of, it's desiring the word of God like a hungry lion. Haga. I wanted to say that. You know, God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, your hunger and obedience to my word is directly related to your success in life. Joshua 1:8. Your success in life. Listen to this word again, Haggai, in Psalm chapter 1, verses 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his word he haggas day. day and night. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to impart that into us, a hunger for His Word. You see, this is a Christian who can pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations because he hungers on the Word day and night. You see, it's pinning Satan's words with God's words. And sometimes we need to hunger His Word. I'm hungry for Your Word. The entrance of Your Word gives light. There's power in the Word. He honors His Word above His name. You can change your state and atmosphere by changing your thoughts, basing those thoughts on the unchanging, great unchanging promises of God. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of what God has in store for you. Don't allow him to rob you. Let's begin to fill our minds and hearts and our homes and our surroundings with the powerful seed thoughts of God about health, about victory, about peace, about prosperity, and all the other things that we desire in life. Base those thoughts on the definite promises of God. Think them, talk them, act on them. Think, talk, and act.
Whether you're in this room, whether you're watching at home, whether you're watching this at a later date, I just want to give everybody the opportunity. You may not have put your hand up, but something deep inside of you is saying, I either need to follow Jesus for the first time, or this is the right time for me to actually bring myself back into a relationship with God. And so for everybody here this morning, everybody who's watching online this morning, or later, I just want to lead you in a prayer of salvation, of asking Jesus to come and dwell in your heart, to make a home within you, so that you can come back into relationship with God for the first time or the right time. If that's you, just pray this prayer this morning. Pray it after me. Everyone's going to join in together. Let's do that. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I thank you. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are Lord and God raised you from the dead. I repent of my sin. I surrender my heart to you. From this day on, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. If you pray that prayer for the first time, or you needed to pray it because you knew you needed to pray it, I want to encourage you. Come and speak to one of the pastors at the front afterwards. If you're watching at home, go to gc.org.au/first steps. Get in contact with us. All the information is there that you need to start your journey.